My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now the runner goes, the pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep right field. Back goes Cole to the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Unbelievable. A pinch hit, walk-off, two-run homer. And the Diamondbacks have scored 5 runs in the bottom of the 9th inning. And they have themselves one of the wins of the year for them.
Yeah, they were down 8-4. The D-backs were heading into the bottom of the 9th, facing Kyle Finnegan, all-star Kyle Finnegan, and he promptly in 6 batters gave up 5 hits, 5 runs, including that 2-run walk-off homer by Corbin Carroll. Andrew Golden was there for all of it last night out in Arizona. Andrew covers the Nats for the Washington Post. You can follow Andrew on X at Andrew C. Golden, and he joins us right now courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That's a bad loss, but it's also an interesting one because Kyle Finnegan, right, Andrew, has had a couple of rough outings back-to-back since the All-Star game, even though he didn't make an appearance in the game. And I'm just wondering, will any of that affect anything that may or may not happen today?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it's something that I tweeted about it last night. I think that when you look at what happened last night, I think this is kind of the reality a little bit of who Kyle Finnegan is. And I think both can be true. I think he's a great reliever. And I think that you're not second in the league in saves if you're not a great reliever. And so I think he's done that. But also the reality is Kyle Finnegan, when he gets hit really hard. And so when he has his bad outings, they can be really, really bad. And so I believe the stat is that, like, basically there's a stat called hard hit percentages, which is how often a guy hits a ball 95 miles per hour or harder. Right. And opponents do that 51% of the time against Kyle Finnegan. So basically every other batter is hitting the ball over 95 miles per hour. So I think teams kind of knew that Kyle Finnegan gets hit hard. So I don't think that it necessarily changes how teams view him. I think teams kind of knew this is what they could potentially be getting. But it definitely isn't a great way to audition before you're about to get traded to give up 5 runs to the Diamondbacks in the way he did. But I think this is the reality of kind of who he is. But I still think he's a great reliever. I still think that he would net a good return. But I do think he kind of has some flaws, and I think that kind of came to light last night a little bit.
All right, before we get to what was done yesterday and what's been done, you know, actually over the last week and a half, do you think Finnegan will get dealt before the deadline tonight at 6?
I think he will. I think the reality is that I think the relief that teams are really going to want relievers right now. It's always the seller's market. I think maybe some team that's really desperate to get a reliever, and I think that the Nationals will be able to take advantage of that. So I think he will. I think that there's the market for relievers is always very active around this time, and so I think they'll get a deal that they can get done that they like.
All right, let's talk about these deals that they've done sort of in order. Actually, working backwards, let's go with the more recent, and that is Lane Thomas, who, by the way, was acquired for John Lester after Lester did, you know, hardly anything here at the end. And the team got, what, 3 years out of him, and now they get three players back. Talk to us about the deal for Lane Thomas yesterday and who won it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it remains to be seen who won it, but I think when you look at it on the surface, it's a good deal for both sides. Obviously, the Guardians got a right fielder, and they got a right-handed bat, which they really needed, and the Nationals obviously got three prospects in return, and I think the reality is, and you kind of mentioned it when you're talking about value for players, the Nationals basically turned 16 starts of John Lester into three controllable players who can really help them down the line, so I think it's a good return. I had a scout who I texted with yesterday. He's a big fan of Alex Clemmy. He's a second-round pickup last year as a lefty. And so he was a very big fan of him, said he'll be a stud. And so I think when you look at the return, there's Jose Tenya who has played in the majors a little bit, but he's kind of blocked in a log jam that there was with Cleveland. So, but I think it's a good return. I think it works for both sides. I think the Nationals got a return for Lane that is the return for an everyday player. I think there's a question of whether they get a platoon value or an everyday player value. And based off what this looks like, it seems like they got a return for an everyday player. And so I think it was a good trade for both sides. I think the Nationals definitely benefited from, you know, getting three players who they could develop and potentially have them help at the big league level down the line.
You mentioned one of the players, Clemmy, the pitcher, who's, I think, number seven in the Cleveland organization in terms of prospects, 19 years old, and apparently can really throw. I mean, is the hope that they got a potential starter, a rotation starter in the future out of this deal? Or, you know, what is – out of the three, he would seem to be the one that has the greatest potential. What is it?
Yes. I think the potential is that he's a frontline starter is what I've heard. I think that obviously has a fastball with good carry. He can top out at 99. He has a good curveball. He also has a slider and a changeup. So he has four pitches that are all developing. And so I think if he can really fine tune those and obviously have a repeatable delivery and have those mechanics, I think you're looking at hopefully what they hope to be. I think a front of the rotation starter. So I think that's kind of what's backing. I think that's what the ceiling is for him. And so I think that's what the Nationals are hoping for. He's already their number six prospect right behind Cade Cavalli, just for perspective on how MLB.com views him. And so I think they're hoping for a really big return for him.
Andrew, real quickly, just summarize the Winker deal and the Hunter Harvey deal is now, you know, a week and a half or whatever old. But the Winker deal happened over the weekend. What'd they get back for Winker? Tell me about Tyler Stewart.
Yeah, Tyler Stewart. So he was drafted out of Southern Miss a couple seasons ago as he's primarily been a reliever, but the Mets turned into a starter. And so he's currently in Double A. And so it's kind of interesting. I think he's a really good slider. He throws it like about 50% of the time. And so that's his go-to pitch. I think there's kind of a question about whether he will be a starter or maybe a long reliever and move to the bullpen in the future. I think I see him as a projection of moving to the bullpen at some point, but for now he's a starter. I think obviously you want to try guys out as a starter for as long as you can, and then once that doesn't work, then you kind of move into relief role. And so, but I'd expect him to be a reliever down the line for the Nationals, but maybe he can be a back of the rotation guy or a reliever. I think that's kind of my projection for him.
How good is Mike Rizzo at this? Like, where would you rank him among the general managers in the league?
I mean, he's up there when it comes to these trade deadline deals and getting returns that can help him in the future. And so, I don't think anybody can doubt that. And I think when you look at their deadline so far, I think you need to give credit to the front office for how they've been able to turn some guys who maybe they didn't have a ton of value and turn them into a ton of value. I mean, look at Hunter Harvey he was a waiver claim who was injured for a while and, you know, looked like his career was kind of sputtering a little bit, but Nationals took a chance. And he obviously turned into Caden Wallace, who's an infielder, and then Caleb Lomavita, who they took with the 39th pick in this year's draft. With Winker, he signed to a minor league deal, and they get Tyler Stewart. And then, like I said, with Lane, you get 16 John Lester starts, and you turn him into three prospects. And so I think when you look at Mike Rizzo, one of his strengths is finding those diamonds in the rough and then maximizing them at the deadlines. I think Mike is great at this. He's done this before. Obviously, that Padres trade where you got Joe Ross and Trey Turner, he's done this before. So I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. And so we'll see how it plays out, but it definitely looks like he's kind of maximizing the value for some of these guys who maybe he didn't know were going to have a ton of value. I think you can make the same case for Kyle Finnegan, right? They signed him to a major league deal in 2020. He had no major league experience, and now look at the return you could potentially get for him too. So I think this is what Mike Rizzo does really well.
We're talking to Andrew Golden. He covers the Nats for the Washington Post. You know, on trade deadline days or the days leading up to it, sometimes you're surprised at seeing a name involved in a deal that ends up being a big deal, and then you realize, man, that guy got much better after he left here. Eric was involved in a huge trade yesterday, and yeah, he's really pitched well this year for Chicago. Just talk about him and the deal that he was involved in real quickly.
Yeah, that's a good deal for the Cardinals. I mean, it filled two needs, obviously. You're getting Fang, you're getting Tommy Pham. I honestly don't feel like when I look at that deal, like the White Sox did not get, I guess in my opinion, I don't think they got a ton for what they gave up. I mean, at least when you compare it to some of the other deals, even this Nationals deal with Lane Thomas, and you look at what they got in return, I personally kind of wonder like what the White Sox are doing with that deal, in all honesty. But yeah, but Eric Fetty, I think one of the things for him, I think he went to Korea and he won the Cy Young down there. For the Cy Young equivalent down there. I think when we talked to him, and he even talked to my coworker Jesse about this last year, like I think for him, like he kind of forgot what it was like being the guy, you know, kind of being the guy that teams could rely on and kind of being that guy. So I think it instilled new confidence in him. And when he came back to the big leagues, I think he's shown that, and I think he's developed himself into a nice big leaguer. He obviously changed his arsenal a little bit too. It's a little bit different from when he was with the Nationals, but it's a really good story of a guy who kind of took a chance for himself, went to the Korean League, kind of reinvented himself, and now is kind of a frontline starter for the Cardinals in the thick of the playoff race. So it's good for him. It's what he deserves for the talent, for the amount of time he put in to improve his game. So I've been really impressed with that, and I think the Cardinals did a great job in that trade. I think the Dodgers did too. And then, as I said, the White Sox, I'm a little confused by what their return was there.
I guess lastly, you expect Finnegan to get dealt. Anybody else before the deadline today?
Definitely Dylan Floro. He's on an expiring contract. They signed to a 1-year deal this offseason, taking a chance on him as well. And it paid dividends coming off of a down year. So definitely expecting to be traded. He's on a 1-year deal. Doesn't really fit with their timeline. So I would expect that. I think obviously the other two who could potentially be in the mix is Patrick Corbin. If somebody really wants to take a chance on him, they're willing to eat a lot of his contract. If the Nationals are willing to take on a lot of his contract, maybe there's a market for Patrick Corbin, but I wouldn't expect a ton. And then Derek Law would be the other one, just a controllable reliever. But I wouldn't expect either of those guys to be dealt. Definitely Floro, though, and then I think Finnegan's kind of the one that's kind of up in the air.
I mean, would somebody be looking at Corbin as just left-handed relief, you know, up for a contender?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be kind of the value, right? And I think the other thing with Corbin to note, which is kind of a factor here too, is that he's a 10-5 player, so he has 10 years of major league service and has spent 5 years with the team. So he has an automatic no trade clause that goes into effect. So that's another factor too, is that like he has to be willing to accept a trade somewhere else, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I think, yeah, I think if there's any team that wanted him, maybe they believe that he could coming out of the bullpen and provide some innings, you know, down the stretch here. So I think that'd be the value in that. And so I don't know if there's going to be – I don't know if that value is worth it to give up, but I definitely did think it's potentially an option.
All right. I lied. Just maybe one or two more, because I was just thinking
as many as you need.
Well, I mean, James Wood now is, you know, 20-something games in since being called up. There have been some moments, that's for sure. I mean, the game that he had the other day, you know, where he was 4 for 5 with 2 doubles and 2 RBIs when they rolled up like 14 runs in St. Louis was a big one. He's had some moments. Overall, you know, I'm looking to see game count. It looks like 24 games so far. 24 games in, how would you describe, you know, James Wood so far?
I think he looks like a rookie, right? I think he looks like a guy who's trying to figure it out. I think there's been some flashes of potential. Here's one thing I'll say. He's hitting the ball. He's hitting the ball so hard, which I think is, like, really, really impressive. His, like, average exit velocity is, like, kind of up there with, like, Soto and Judge's. So, that is obviously a positive to look at. I think it's a matter of figuring out how the league is pitching him. I think a lot of teams, they're showing their respect early on. He's facing a lot of lefties, relievers or managers are making bullpen changes for left-handed relievers to face them. So, like, obviously when you have that amount of respect and you're just a rookie, like, that can kind of be an adjustment for sure. I think he's shown a couple of things. Like, I think he's shown at times that maybe he gets a little too aggressive and there are times where he's not aggressive enough. So I think trying to find that balance there, he strikes out a lot. And I think it's just partly because he's trying to figure out how guys are pitching him. I also will say he's hitting a lot of ground balls, which is kind of one of the knocks against him. And so I think that, that's still showing up, but I think it's gotten better. But I think you're seeing in recent games, he's starting to figure things out a little bit more. He's facing guys for the second time through, and he knows what they're trying to do against him. So I think that Kyle Gibson game was – I think that was a game where he had 4 hits. I think, like, he had faced Kyle before, and he had faced Sonny Gray before. So I think he's kind of starting to figure out, like, how teams are trying to pitch him. So I think he looks like a rookie, right? Like, I think there's a lot of potential, but obviously he's still trying to figure out how teams are going to approach him. And so – I've been impressed. I think he's hitting the ball hard. That's all you can ask for. I think now it's just a matter of elevating it a little bit more and working with patience and play discipline. But he had 2 walks last night. So I think he's starting to kind of come into his own a little bit.
Thank you for doing this. Always appreciate it. Enjoy your trip out there.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take care.
Follow Andrew. He'll have, you know, any of the news related to Nats deadline deals today at Andrew C. Golden. We'll have it all day long as well. The deadline today at 6. He expects Kyle Finnegan to get dealt after what was a disastrous performance last night in Arizona. When we come back, John Elway admitted the mistake of his front office career. That'll get us into a conversation about some of the mistakes made around here over the last 10 years. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now the runner goes. The pitch swung on. Hit in the air to deep right field. Back goes Cole to the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! A pinch hit walk-off two-run homer. And the Diamondbacks have scored 5 runs in the bottom of the 9th inning. And they have themselves one of the wins of the year for them.
Yeah, they were down 8-4. The D-backs were heading into the bottom of the 9th, facing Kyle Finnegan, all-star Kyle Finnegan, and he promptly in 6 batters gave up 5 hits, 5 runs, including that 2-run walk-off homer by Corbin Carroll. Andrew Golden was there for all of it last night out in Arizona. Andrew covers the Nats for the Washington Post. You can follow Andrew on X at Andrew C. Golden, and he joins us right now courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That's a bad loss, but it's also an interesting one because Kyle Finnegan, right, Andrew, has had a couple of rough outings back-to-back since the All-Star game, even though he didn't make an appearance in the game. And I'm just wondering, will any of that affect anything that may or may not happen today?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it's something that I tweeted about it last night. I think that when you look at what happened last night, I think this is kind of the reality a little bit of who Kyle Finnegan is. And I think both can be true. I think he's a great reliever. And I think that you're not second in the league in saves if you're not a great reliever. So I think he's done that. But also the reality is Kyle Finnegan, when he gets hit really hard. And so when he has his bad outings, they can be really, really bad. And so I believe the stat is that, like, basically there's a stat called hard hit percentages, which is how often a guy hits a ball 95 miles per hour or harder. Right. And opponents do that 51% of the time against Kyle Finnegan. So basically every other batter is hitting the ball over 95 miles per hour. So I think teams kind of knew that Kyle Finnegan gets hit hard. So I don't think that it necessarily changes how teams view him. I think teams kind of knew this is what they could potentially be getting. But it definitely isn't a great way to audition before you're about to get traded to give 5 runs to the Diamondbacks in the way he did. But I think this is the reality of kind of who he is. But I still think he's a great reliever. I still think that he would net a good return. But I do think he kind of has some flaws, and I think that kind of came to light last night a little bit.
All right, before we get to what was done yesterday and what's been done, you know, actually over the last week and a half, do you think Finnegan will get dealt before the deadline tonight at 6?
I think he will. I think the reality is that I think teams are really going to want relievers right now. It's always the seller's market. I think maybe some team that's really desperate to get a reliever, and I think that the Nationals will be able to take advantage of that. So I think he will. I think that the market for relievers is always very active around this time, and so I think they'll get a deal that they can get done that they like.
All right, let's talk about these deals that they've done sort of in order. Actually, working backwards, let's go with the more recent, and that is Lane Thomas, who, by the way, was acquired for John Lester after Lester did, you know, hardly anything here at the end. And the team got, what, 3 years out of him, and now they get 3 players back. Talk to us about the deal for Lane Thomas yesterday and who won it.
Yeah, I think it remains to be seen who won it, but I think when you look at it on the surface, it's a good deal for both sides. Obviously, the Guardians got a right fielder, and they got a right-handed bat, which they really needed, and the Nationals obviously got 3 prospects in return. And I think the reality is, when you kind of mentioned it when you're talking about value for players, the Nationals basically turned 16 starts of Don Lester into three controllable players who can really help them down the line. So I think it's a good return. I had a scout who I checked with yesterday. He's a big fan of Alex Clemmie. He's a second-round pickup last year as a lefty. And so he was a very big fan of him, said he'll be a stud. And so I think when you look at the return, there's Jose Tenya, who has played in the majors a little bit, but he's kind of blocked in a log jam that there was with Cleveland. So, but I think it's a good return. I think it works for both sides. I think the Nationals got a return for Lane that is the return for an everyday player. I think there's a question of whether they get a platoon value or an everyday player value. And based off what this looks like, it seems like they got a return for an everyday player. And so I think it was a good trade for both sides. I think the Nationals definitely benefited from, you know, getting 3 players who they could develop and potentially have them help at the big league level down the line.
You mentioned one of the players, Clemmy, the pitcher, who's, I think, number 7 in the Cleveland organization in terms of prospects, 19 years old, and apparently can really throw. I mean, is the hope that they got a potential starter, a rotation starter in the future out of this deal? Or, you know, what is, out of the three, he would seem to be the one that has the greatest potential. What is it?
Yes, yes. I think the potential is that he's a frontline starter is what I've heard. I think that obviously he has a fastball with good carry. He can top out at 99. He has a good curveball. He also has a slider and a changeup. So he has four pitches that are all developing. And so I think if he can really fine tune those and obviously have a repeatable delivery and have those mechanics, I think you're looking at hopefully what they hope to be. I think a front of the rotation starter. So I think that's kind of what the ceiling is for him. And so I think that's what the Nationals are hoping for. He's already their number 6 prospect, right behind Cade Cavalli, just for perspective on how MLB.com views him. And so I think they're hoping for a really big return for him.
Andrew, real quickly, just summarize the Winker deal and the Hunter Harvey deal's now, you know, a week and a half or whatever old. But the Winker deal happened over the weekend. What'd they get back for Winker? Tell me about Tyler Stewart.
Yeah, Tyler Stewart. So he was drafted out of Southern Miss a couple seasons ago. As he'd primarily been a reliever, but the Mets turned into a starter. And so he's currently in Double-A. And so it's kind of interesting. I think he's a really good slider. He throws it like about 50% of the time. And so the kind of that's his go-to pitch. I think there's kind of a question about whether he will be a starter or maybe a long reliever or move to the bullpen in the future. I think I see him as a projection of moving to the bullpen at some point. But for now, he's a starter. I think obviously, you want to try guys out as a starter for as long as you can, and then once that doesn't work, then you kind of move into a relief role. And so, but I'd expect him to be a reliever down the line for the Nationals, but maybe he can be a back of the rotation guy or a reliever. I think that's kind of my projection for him.
How good is Mike Rizzo at this? Like, where would you rank him among the general managers in the league?
I mean, he's up there when it comes to these trade deadline deals and getting returns that can help him in the future. And so, I don't think anybody can doubt that. And I think when you look at their deadline so far, I think you need to give credit to the front office for how they've been able to turn some guys who maybe they didn't have a ton of value and turn them to a ton of value. I mean, look at Hunter Harvey. He was a waiver claim who was injured for a while and, you know, looked like his career was kind of sputtering a little bit, but Nationals took a chance. And he obviously turns into Caden Wallace, who's an infielder, and then Caleb Lomavita, who they took with the 39th pick in this year's draft. With Winker, he signed to a minor league deal, and they get Tyler Stewart. And then, like I said, with Lane, you get 16 John Lester starts, and you turn him into 3 prospects. And so I think when you look at Mike Rizzo, one of his strengths is finding those diamonds in the rough and then maximizing them at the deadline. So I think Mike is great at this. He's done this before. Obviously, that Padres trade where you got Joe Ross and Trey Turner, he's done this before, so I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. And so we'll see how it plays out, but it definitely looks like he's kind of maximizing the value for some of these guys who maybe he didn't know were going to have a ton of value. I think you can make the same case for Cal Finnegan, right? They signed him to a major league deal in 2020. He had no major league experience, and now look at the return you could potentially get for him, too. So I think this is what Mike Rizzo does really well.
We're talking to Andrew Golden. He covers the Nats for the Washington Post. You know, on trade deadline days or the days leading up to it, sometimes you're surprised at seeing a name involved in a deal that ends up being a big deal, and then you realize, man, that guy got much better after he left here. Eric was involved in a huge trade yesterday. And yeah. He's really pitched well this year for Chicago. Just talk about him and the deal that he was involved in real quickly.
Yeah, that's a good deal for the Cardinals. I mean, it filled two needs, obviously. You're getting Fang, you're getting Tommy Pham. I honestly don't feel like when I look at that deal, like the White Sox did not get, I guess in my opinion, I don't think they got a ton for what they gave up. I mean, at least when you compare it to some of the other deals, even this Nationals deal with Lane Thomas, when you look at what they got in return, I personally kind of wonder like what the White Sox are doing with that deal, in all honesty. But yeah, but Eric Fetty, I think one of the things for him, I think he went to Korea and he won the Cy Young down there for the Cy Young equivalent down there. I think when we talked to him, and he even talked to my coworker Jesse about this last year, like, I think for him, like, he kind of forgot what it was like being the guy, you know, kind of being the guy that teams could rely on and kind of being that guy. So I think it instilled new confidence in him. And when he came back to the big leagues, I think he's shown that. And I think he's developed himself into a nice big leaguer. He obviously changed his arsenal a little bit too. It's a little bit different when he was with the Nationals. But it's a really good story of a guy who kind of took a chance on himself, went to the Korean League, kind of reinvented himself, and now is kind of a frontline starter for the Cardinals in the thick of a playoff race. So it's good for him. It's what he deserves for the talent, for the amount of time he put in to improve his game. So I've been really impressed with that. And I think the Cardinals did a great job in that trade. I think the Dodgers did too. And then, as I said, the White Sox, I'm a little confused by what the return was there.
I guess lastly, you expect Finnegan to get dealt. Anybody else before the deadline today?
Definitely Dylan Floro. He's on an expiring contract. They signed to a one-year deal this offseason, taking a chance on him as well. And it paid dividends coming off of a down year. So definitely expecting to be traded. He's on a one-year deal. Doesn't really fit with their timeline. So I would expect that. I think obviously the other two who could potentially be in the mix is Patrick Corbin. If somebody really wants to take a chance on him, they're willing to eat a lot of his contract. If the Nationals are willing to take on a lot of his contract, maybe there's a market for Patrick Corbin, but I wouldn't expect a ton. And then Derek Law would be the other one, just a controllable reliever. But I wouldn't expect either of those guys to be dealt. Definitely Floro, though, and then I think Finnegan's kind of the one that's kind of up in the air.
I mean, would somebody be looking at Corbin as just left-handed relief, you know, up for a contender?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be kind of the value, right? And I think the other thing with Corbin to note, which is kind of a factor here too, is that he's a 10-5 player, so he has 10 years of major league service and has spent 5 years with the team. So he has an automatic no trade clause that goes into effect. So that's another factor too, is that like he has to be willing to accept a trade somewhere else, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I think, yeah, I think if there's any team that wanted him, maybe they believe that he could come in out of the bullpen and provide some innings, you know, down the stretch here. So I think that'd be the value in that. And so I don't know if there's going to be – I don't know if that value is worth it to give up, but I definitely did think it's potentially an option.
All right. I lied. Just maybe one or two more, because I was just thinking
as many as you need.
Well, I mean, James Wood now is, you know, 20-something games in since mm-hmm. being called up. There have been some moments, that's for sure. I mean, the game that he had the other day, you know, where he was 4-for-5 with 2 doubles and 2 RBIs when they rolled up like 14 runs in St. Louis was a big one. He's had some moments. Overall, you know, I'm looking to see game count. It looks like 24 games so far. 24 games in, how would you describe, you know, James Wood so far?
I think he looks like a rookie, right? I think he looks like a guy who's trying to figure it out. I think there's been some flashes of potential. Here's one thing I'll say. He's hitting the ball. He's hitting the ball so hard, which I think is, like, really, really impressive. His, like, average exit velocity is, like, kind of up there with, like, Soto and Judge's. So that is obviously a positive to look at. I think it's a matter of figuring out how the league is pitching him. I think a lot of teams, they're showing their respect early on. He's facing a lot of lefties, relievers or managers are making bullpen changes for left-handed relievers to face them. So, like, obviously when you have that amount of respect and you're just a rookie, like, that can kind of be an adjustment for sure. I think he's shown a couple of things. Like, I think he's shown at times that maybe he gets a little too aggressive, and there are times where he's not aggressive enough. So I think trying to find that balance there, he strikes out a lot. And I think it's just partly because he's trying to figure out how guys are pitching him. I also will say he's hitting a lot of ground balls, which is kind of one of the knocks against him. And so I think that, that's still showing up, but I think it's gotten better. But I think you're seeing in recent games, he's starting to figure things out a little bit more. He's facing guys for the second time through, and he knows what they're trying to do against him. So I think that Kyle Gibson game was a game where he had 4 hits. I think, like, he had faced Kyle before, and he had faced Sonny Gray before. So I think he's kind of starting to figure out, like, how teams are trying to pitch him. So I think he looks like a rookie, right? Like, I think there's a lot of potential, but obviously he's still trying to figure out how teams are going to approach him. And so, I've been impressed. I think he's hitting the ball hard. That's all you can ask for. I think now it's just a matter of elevating it a little bit more and working with patience and play discipline. But he had 2 walks last night. So I think he's starting to kind of come into his own a little bit.
Thank you for doing this. Always appreciate it. Enjoy your trip out there.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take care.
follow Andrew. He'll have, you know, any of the news related to Nats deadline deals today at Andrew C. Golden. We'll have it all day long as well. The deadline today at 6. He expects Kyle Finnegan to get dealt after what was a disastrous performance last night in Arizona. When we come back, John Elway admitted the mistake of his front office career. That'll get us into a conversation about some of the mistakes made around here over the last 10 years. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.